The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Well, there she is.
Yep.
Oh, Tina, 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 Tina.
Good evening.
In honor
of
Miss Turner.
Yep, Tina Turner.
Leaving the surface of this earth.
She was 83 years old.
That's, you know,
that's pretty good.
And that's not, that's bad. Not bad. Maybe considering how, you know, her life was long and hard. But I just assumed she reminded me always so much of, like, a what is it, Raquel Welch and Tina Turner. They just kind of seemed to, I mean, Raquel Welch and Sophia Loren, right? Mm. They just, like, kept going and going and going. I thought she'd be around to be 100 at least.
I saw Tina Turner live when I was about 15 or 16 years old, and I made the mistake of thinking that all bands would be as good as...
She gave it all.
That was amazing.
I don't do concerts, so I didn't see anybody in concert.
You are a strange puppy.
Yeah, see?
Nigel.
Poor Garrett.
Just forget it. Let's just, Nigel's here, James is here, Garrett.
It's all good. we have Tomas here. Tomas.
Hello.
Avalos, how are you?
Good, thank you.
You're probably from our similar age group.
Yep. Could just go turn
27?
Yeah.
Oh. 25.
And then Yvonne is here.
Yvonne is here. So the four of us have Garrett beat. I think we've all probably seen our fair share of good bands, good concerts, right?
Don Henley.
Ooh, Don Henley.
That was a good one.
Ooh, that's good. I like that.
What was your first?
I think it was Don Henley.
Wow. This is that good. Sure.
It was the best. It was his first. It was his only.
So welcome to the show. Yeah, today, Tina Turner died. That was.
And today is what, Nigel?
It is Wednesday. What was that? May 24th.
You got it right.
I did. I got it right.
There you go.
And
May 2023 in June. The year of our Lord.
Yeah, there you go. It is June, right?
Yeah.
It's June. I don't know. I can't keep up. It's been nice and warm. Did you? And yesterday we had that. We had that little thunderstorm, hailstorm, lightning,
nice
bit of everything.
Beautiful though.
Yeah.
I got caught in that storm yesterday. I went walking in my neighborhood. I was like, oh, it's all going north. I'll be fine.
Oh no, it opened up wide.
It was,
and took over the whole North Valley.
Yeah, it was. I saw it, like, it was weird because it was like forming. I'm like, well, in Texas, that's called a tornado.
Well, doesn't it look like it?
It does. It really does.
And like very rarely, not even so much here, but somewhere in California, you'll say, they had a tornado today, and it's,
wow,
you know, a one or something, but, yeah, you know, but very rarely. But yeah, if we probably didn't have mountains and there was less terrain.
Oh, it would have formed into something, because it happened quick. I'm sitting there watching this thing get bigger and bigger and bigger. The lightning's getting closer, thunder's getting louder, temperature's dropping. I'm like, oh, this is great. And I'm 2.5 miles and away from my home, and that
and
was
you're
hard.
Running and panting trying to find an underground bunker.
No, I wasn't looking for an underground bunker. I was just trying to make it home, and then the hail started, and I was like, oh, I'm in trouble.
Yeah,
but I made it back.
So that is a very traditional spring or early summer thunderstorm that running used to have all the time. We don't get them as often as we used to.
But they're fantastic.
Excuse me.
I've been following this YouTube channel. I've become kind of a weather.
I know where you're going with this.
This is the Pacific Northwest Weather Watch, and it's this guy, and every day, like twice a day, does little reports on the Pacific Northwest and California.
Yeah.
So I've been following it.
And California.
And, you know, apparently we're heading for El Nino.
Like, seriously, everything I keep watching on YouTube talks about that we're in, that this is, like, potentially going to be
year three.
One of the biggest El Ninos we've had in a long
time. Which means that...
Well, we've been in the El Nina for 3 years.
Oh, okay.
And now we're switching back to the El Nino, but this one's brewing to be a whopper.
Well, forgive me, no hablo español. So what are y'all talking about?
So
Tomas can help me out here.
Child.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Child.
Female child, male child.
Okay, great.
No, it's a weather pattern that's dictated by water temperature that's usually off the coast of Mexico, I think it is. And when there's hot water or warm water and it dominates, we go into an El Nino. Mm-hmm. And when it's cooler water, it's an El Nina. And it just really affects the United States, other places, literally all over the world, but specifically California and El Nino through its central, area is usually, if it's a strong El Nino, we get lots and lots of rain.
Okay. So what we saw yesterday is we'll get a few more of those.
That'd be great.
But then wintertime usually is it just rains and rains and rains and rains. Like our version of a monsoon.
We had a lot of snow this year. Mm-hmm. I wonder if that had something to do with it.
I don't know. Yeah, it could be. Could be. Yeah.
So. Okay, so our guest, Tomas Avalos. Did I say that right?
That's correct.
My Española is not very bueno. Yes,
that's fine. Just
you know?
That's a good Russian name. I like it.
Yeah, it's good. So welcome to the show. Tell us a little bit about you. You work at RE/MAX. You're a realtor.
REMAX Reading. We work with RE/MAX Reading with Pat and Al Nacioni.
I was going to say, that's why you were looking at your ad in the magazine.
Yeah, exactly.
I was everybody stopped here, and I was thinking, ooh, I feel bad, the competitor. He's having to look at a competitor in the magazine, but it's you.
He's in the photo.
There you are.
Yeah, exactly.
Handsome devil.
So my wife and I, we're all a team there. I've been here for 20 years now.
Wow.
And you were born where again?
I was born in Woodland and raised in Colusa County, a little town named Grimes. So,
right on.
Shout out for Grimes.
Yeah, right.
Peace.
Back to all the homies in Grimes.
And what made you move to Reading?
I was transferred here with McMahon's Furniture.
I remember McMahon's Furniture.
I was their store manager for a couple years, and then logistic supervisor, and then from there, they retired, and we opened up our own furniture store, Furniture Mattress 86, and then from there I went into real estate back in at the end of 2015.
You figured out there was more money in selling the outside of the house than the inside.
Well, it's more enjoyable. You're outside, you're actually showing homes, you're not stuck in the office.
McMahon's, was that on Park Marina? Where was it?
Athens.
Athens.
Street over.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, and then, so it was there for literally forever, and then it did close, and then it became employee owned or something.
Yes, and that was part of, I was part of the group.
Yeah, yeah. I remember all that. That was.
Yeah, it was exciting times.
James has been here since before there was
dirt. They found dirt, and they found dirt, and then they found James. They're like, oh, yep. Here we go.
It all came from my belly button.
Yeah. It's horrible. Absolutely horrible.
So then you made the transition to real estate. What was the decision for that?
My wife was in it already, and we were talking one night and say, hey, why don't you come over and join us? And I said, yeah, let's do it. And furniture was kind of slowing down. And so I jumped over to their office, and I was a transaction coordinator for a year.
That's probably a good spot to start. You get used to the paperwork.
Exactly. You read the contracts, schedule the inspections, and to follow the timelines. So.
I think of that as being a nightmare. Every time you buy a house, it's such a nightmare, the paperwork and the inspections and this and that and then the counter and then, we found
this.
That's
why you have Tomas.
I was going to say, that's why you hire a professional like Tomas so he can...
This is why we can help you out.
Well, you've been in this for 20 years, so you've obviously seen the paperwork change, right?
Yes. Yes, I've seen quite a bit. North State.
Conspiracy theorist now comes out in Nigel, so he's going to find out. Have you seen the paperwork change enough to where even though you're signing it and it's supposed to be your house, but legally, is it really ever your house?
Yes, it's actually the bank's house. Usually, yeah.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. You're catching on.
I know. We own nothing anymore.
No, I know.
That's right. So you're obviously good at what you do, and you stuck with it.
It's just the love of helping people find their home and educating them through the whole process.
I think in California, having a real estate license counts as like a secondary ID. I think everybody's had their real estate license here. I know I have. I've had my real estate license twice. You have?
I have all the books to go through the courses, but never have done it. When I open up the first page, I'm like, No. I'm like, this looks like a lot of work.
I've got a Texas broker's license, but not a California one.
So you're a broker and a lawyer?
Mm-hmm. So in the state of Texas, because you have a law degree,
mm-hmm.
you can go in and take the brokers. In Texas, you have to be an agent for at least 3 years, or you have to do $400,000 in volume, which that's one sale here in California.
Yeah, down there, and that's like 50.
That's like, 50 sales. Yeah, 50 sales down there. But if you have a law degree, you can go ahead and take the broker's test. And mm-hmm. so I was like, the firm I worked for, we had just acquired a real estate firm. They're like, Garrett, you're the new guy on the block. You're going to run this real estate company. I was like, oh, great. It's like, go take your test. So I went and took it.
Your broker's.
I've got it. It's inactive, but I do have it. And so I've got an active bar license and an active Texas real estate broker's license.
A man with licenses, a man with nothing.
Pretty much.
In California.
Pretty much. I'm nothing here in California.
So do you aspire to be a broker yourself and have your own?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
You are a broker or you're
I'm not a broker. I'm taking the courses.
Okay. Yes. So you've been doing this since 2016.
2016, correct.
Yeah. It's been an interesting, four and almost 8 years.
Mm-hmm.
So you said, is that our buzz?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, let's take our first 2-minute break. Sorry, we'll be right back.
And now, the Real Estate Minute, brought to you by Vista Real Estate.
When it comes to buying and selling real estate, one size does not fit all. Higher-priced homes sell differently than medium-priced homes. Make sure your realtor knows the difference and has the right tools to get your home sold for the highest price. Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor how they plan to sell your home and what they'll do differently to make your listing stand out. Ask your realtor what kind of experience they have in marketing and sales outside the real estate industry. Be sure to choose a realtor with solid marketing and sales training who also understands tech and internet advertising. Interview at least 3 realtors and make sure to call the number one high-end home selling agent for the past 13 years, me.
The Real Estate Minute is brought to you by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700 or visit VistaReading.com today. And now, the Real Estate Minute, brought to you by Vista Real Estate.
When selling your home, you're probably already aware of the marketing tools realtors use to get the job done. But do you know how those tools are being leveraged? Are you getting the best possible exposure? Or is your realtor just doing the bare minimum? Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor what their vision is for marketing your home. Every home tells a story, and your realtor should showcase that story, utilizing creative photography, aggressive internet advertising, print media, and more. In addition, make sure your property is being marketed to other areas. Before you choose a realtor to represent you, ask if they plan to target more than just local buyers. Interview at least 3 realtors and make sure Vista Real Estate is on your list.
The Real Estate Minute is brought to you by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700 or visit VistaReading.com today.
And we're back. Good evening, Nigel and James. It's whatever day it is, Wednesday.
Wednesday, 24th, 2023. Yep. I want to say 24th.
May.
24th, 2022.
And it's nice and warm out there. We have Yvonne with us and Garrett.
Always.
Part of the furniture at this point.
You can't get rid of me. I don't want to go anywhere, though.
Really nice outside. It's only 82, it says right now.
Yeah, it's very nice.
That's
and we have Tomas
nice.
With us from... Remax, local realator.
Yep, Remax of Reading.
Remax. Remax
of Reading. And what I love right here at the bottom, under his picture, it says, Se habla español.
See?
So you want to explain that?
Which is really important.
Okay, yes. I am bilingual.
Uh-oh.
Your boss walked in.
Yeah, for sure. Here.
Okay. All right.
We're going to pick you on the radio now.
The big cheese came in. Oh. Come on, you're sitting right here.
You take my spot. Hi, how are you?
Welcome to live TV. This is
welcome to live radio.
This is very interesting. See, Thomas, you, after all these years, you're still smitten.
Yeah.
Like we were talking to you 1 minute, and the next minute you're like off in La La Land.
Yeah, exactly.
Because your
exactly.
wife walked in.
I know.
You know.
It wasn't smitting like, as much as make sure the shirt's tucked in, yeah. stand up straight.
Is my hair fine.
Yeah.
Get all nervous when she gets.
You take a shower. You take a shower today.
He's been a husband now.
He's been killing it since you haven't been here.
Yeah, so he's made five deals.
You might have to move just slightly.
Yeah, we lengthen that. I don't know why it's doing that.
But no, it's not. It's a janky. That's the spare mic, right?
Did you fix it? That's why.
Mm-hmm.
Man.
Okay, great. So, you guys is specialize in the bilingual treatment. So does that mean you have a lot of members of the Latino community as your clients?
We're starting to get more and more people coming, mm-hmm. and I think they're starting to realize that we're here to help
they're
them.
They're a force.
Yeah, and they're, of course, seeing the benefits of owning a home, mm-hmm. of course, and we've been here to help them. And I think getting more referrals as their friends are starting to say, hey.
Have you guys reached out to the new, what is it? Is it the Tehama County?
It's the Northern California Hispanic Chamber.
Okay. Well, that's our next thing.
You need to do that.
She was literally in our office this morning. I should have.
You should have.
Now we have the relationship. Next time she comes by, I'll.
Please.
She would use you guys as a great asset.
Oh, for sure.
She's a huge proponent of, you know.
Well, that's what she's doing with Reading Buzz.
Yeah.
We're getting ready to do a lot of commercials for a lot of Hispanic businesses that are, and of course we don't speak any Spanish, unfortunately, but she's like, you don't have to, I do.
Okay.
And so,
okay.
Yeah,
especially
for
us living in California and Texas, that should be something that we know.
You would think. But no, next time she's in, I'll definitely introduce you guys.
Yes, please.
So are we seeing an influx of Hispanic, Latino families?
We're starting to see what's happened with this pandemic, of course.
Mm-hmm.
We're starting to see a lot of people from the city.
Mm-hmm.
Moving this direction.
Yep.
And on all classes of people.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing is, I've helped probably about six different families of, they've come from the city,
mm-hmm.
and found out, hey, this is a great place to live.
Yeah, right.
And for a fraction of a price, you
right, yeah.
a nice home.
We could actually own a home.
Have you showed them Reading in July and August?
I tell them, it's just for a couple of weeks. the lake's real close.
The lake's real close. Okay.
It's only 180
how do you say
for a couple
a liar
weeks.
Well, yeah. The thing is,
mentiroso.
A big one.
No. But we have the ones that they have come from the city, but we also have the ones that we try to really help.
Yeah.
And they don't realize that it can be done.
Yeah.
And we had Tomas is, you know, very patient, and we try to, you know. yeah, because a lot of people, believe it or not, they don't want to spend the time,
mm-hmm.
because this is much as work. But it doesn't matter. It's not about, you know, what you're making or what commission. It's just, you know, at the end of the day, mm-hmm. I help someone.
Yeah.
And so we have all those families that he has worked. You know, they come. Mm-hmm. We help. I help as much as I can, but he sticks with them.
Mm-hmm.
And we get somebody, he goes and translate, or somebody comes and I translate for the lenders,
sure.
and we make a plan.
Mm-hmm.
We have some of them that they have, and they stick to their plan.
Well,
and
it's probably because people have, you know, unfortunately, you know, somebody, they maybe try to get taken advantage of.
Yeah, or also.
Right? That's got to be scary, especially buying a house.
Yeah.
Exactly. And the biggest investment anybody can.
Yeah.
And so we really try to, okay, what you need to do, and if they need to help on. Not that they have bad credit. This mm-hmm. is the funny thing with them, with a lot of them, they don't have established credit.
Yeah.
And it sometimes is worse than having a bad credit. So mm-hmm. they have to establish. And so we help them with the plan and going open. And mm-hmm. we, you know, explain, you know, about credit cards and everything, and what is would be the best way to do it, and they do it. And then they come back and
that's hard.
You know, very hard. And it's first time home buyers, and mm-hmm. later on, you know, where Tomas has to deal with to find something on that price range,
mm-hmm.
because it's so competitive or non-existent. Yeah. But, you know, we have, he tries, he works very hard, and he does.
So, Tomas, do you remember your very first sale?
Yes, I do.
Was it nerve-wracking?
It was. No, it wasn't, because here's the thing is when I was a transaction coordinator, I knew the steps.
Yeah.
So this person called me, and she was from Fresno. And at the end of the, after several months afterward, she calls me back, and she goes, "You're the only person who explained to me the step-by-step. Mm. Everybody else just wants to sell me something." I said, "No, this is the step-by-step that you're going to take. Mm. Here is what you expect mm-hmm. in purchasing. And these are the documents you're going to need to have."
It wouldn't be bad even if you guys were to set up like and just did it maybe once a quarter where you brought people in yeah. and mm-hmm. sat down and actually gave them, you know, classes
yeah,
on buying a house.
It's like a seminar, first-time yeah. home buyer seminar.
Yeah.
And what he did, and he's very humble, you know, it's like he did over 120 transactions, if I recall, in that year. So I moved forward to, you know, assist Al, and Tomas took my position. And a transaction coordinator is key because you see every single transaction. The agent goes and sells, and then they turn it over to you.
Mm.
And you not only you handle all the documents, disclosures, and everything, but also you're the closer.
Mm.
Because appraisal, inspections, you need to make sure if you see red flags, okay, you jump on it. So actually, he learned, and that's how I learned with Pat and Al.
Mm-hmm.
It was amazing because a lot of people, they don't know that you can go and get your license, never done a transaction, and you're out helping people.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of,
helping,
you know,
in quotation
marks, helping people.
Helping.
So we do have, you know, it's a lot
like
of learning.
Yeah. Well, I was about to say, that's when the lawyers get involved.
So 200 transactions your first year?
Well, it was the transactions
for Al.
For
the whole team. For the whole office.
So the whole office.
Okay.
So you were doing the coordinating for all of them.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
That's a lot of paperwork.
No, but you learn.
Uh-huh.
Because you have to revise every contract, everything, make sure everything has completed.
And it's not even like, the system's probably the same, but every transaction is different.
It's different.
Every single thing.
Yeah. Every single one. Every
I can imagine, because every home is different. Every piece of land, there's a million things that can be wrong, go wrong.
Sellers are different, buyers are different. Just to start there.
They're crazy.
It's kind of interesting now.
Loco en la cabeza.
Un poquito.
Did you just order in Spanish?
Yes.
Uh-huh. that new thing that's in place now, where if you have great credit, you're going to be
The social
social credit thing system. So that if you have really good credit, you're going to be subsidizing those with poor credit, right, and buying a house.
And that's
right.
And that's not for me to really explain. For a lender, professional lenders to explain those. But it is.
But I know a lot of realtors that kind of roll their eyes when that happens. They're like,
of course.
It's not been an act,
but
though.
It is. It went effective
May 1st.
May 1st.
Mm-hmm. What?
May 1st. But actually, if you sit with the right person and they explain to you, you will. There is ways to go around, and then there is.
Mm-mm. But
so, if you're paying attention, it's better off to have bad credit.
No. Because, no. There is that. That's, you know, used to have the lender's insurance, you know, that they insure the loans, you know, but
the PMI.
Mm-hmm. And this is now, we used to be on the lower, you know, when you did only like 3% down payment, things like that, because you didn't have the 20%.
Mm-hmm.
So now it's like they're coming on the top doing something similar, but you have to talk to a lender so they can really explain.
Mm-hmm.
And there is ways is to avoid that, and there is things, other programs, other loans, other way to do it, so you don't get, you know.
But see, therein lies the same thing, right? If you're uneducated and a sucker, people like yourselves, and I don't mean you, but I'm just saying, can take advantage of those systems where you're not explaining, right? And somebody that just doesn't know, right?
And that's why we refer them to the correct person.
Correct person.
But that's also why you guys are talking about your position with, with Remax and your ability to really have a heart and want to help the people. Versus,
sure.
So that communicating these things, these pitfalls.
Exactly. And there's ways we can work around everything. So.
I did hear about this, but I thought that's truly a joke.
No.
You have great credit. Thank you so much. So your interest rate would have been 3%, but it's going to be 6 because you're going to be paying for somebody else's loan.
No, and it doesn't work that way. No. Don't scare people. We want people to come. That's
it
not
doesn't work that
works.
Way. They just take the money directly out of your account and put it in there.
No. I know.
It's much more straightforward.
Yeah.
No. Okay. So let's take our next 2-minute break. And we'll continue with this. Let's talk about the future of Reading real estate.
Yeah,
because real estate's changing, isn't it?
Changing. It's I think the North State's the biggest secret we have.
We're being discovered. Yeah. I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing.
Well, maybe we should talk about something else.
It's
then.
A double-edged sword.
Double-edged.
Yep.
All right.
We'll be right back.
And now, the Real Estate Minute, brought to you by Vista Real Estate.
When it comes to buying and selling real estate, one size does not fit all. Higher-priced homes sell differently than medium-priced homes. Make sure your realtor knows the difference and has the right tools to get your home sold for the highest price. Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor how they plan to sell your home and what they'll do differently to make your listing stand out. Ask your realtor what kind of experience they have in marketing and sales outside the real estate industry. Be sure to choose a realtor with solid marketing and sales training who also understands tech and internet advertising. Interview at least 3 realtors and make sure to call the number one high-end home selling agent for the past 13 years, me.
The Real Estate Minute is brought to you by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700 or visit VistaReading.com today. And now, the Real Estate Minute, brought to you by Vista Real Estate.
When selling your home, you're probably already aware of the marketing tools realtors use to get the job done. But do you know how those tools are being leveraged? Are you getting the best possible exposure? Or is your realtor just doing the bare minimum? Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor what their vision is for marketing your home. Every home tells a story, and your realtor should showcase that story, utilizing creative photography, aggressive internet advertising, print media, and more. In addition, make sure your property is being marketed to other areas. Before you choose a realtor to represent you, ask if they plan to target more than just local buyers. Interview at least 3 realtors and make sure Vista Real Estate is on your list.
The Real Estate Minute is brought to you by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700 or visit VistaReading.com today.
Yeah. That's why you got to do a shameless plug.
Yeah, right.
Well, no, I was enjoying the tune. I was enjoying the rhythm.
Dancing with myself, yeah.
Good evening, Northern California. We're back tonight on James. Yvonne's taking a break.
Yeah.
It's tiring. And we have Garrett with us from Reading Buzz.
Can't get rid of me.
And we have Tomas with us from Remax and your wife. What's your wife's name?
Yolanda.
That's right.
Remax of Reading.
Remax of Reading.
We call her the boss.
How long have you guys been married?
32, 33.
He's sitting. Well, I gotta get this. I have to get this number right. She's within arm's reach of me.
Hey, man, from a
and it only feels like 6.
33, like my minus underwater.
This is the one transaction you gotta get right.
I know.
Well, just to be for disclosure, I always miss the date. So my daughter last year got me a blanket. It has the date and the year. She puts it on my chair this way I don't forget the anniversary.
There you go. What is the date?
What is the date?
Not today. What is the anniversary date?
No, I got to look at the blanket.
He doesn't have a blanket.
He knows, but we have 2. And
what?
He doesn't know. We got married by the church December 19th.
Mm-hmm.
And then we got married just, you know,
With the real marriage, by law,
it was, you know, November 26th. So.
November 26th.
There you go. Yeah.
That's the one that he has trouble with.
Well, I mean, you can't.
So
yeah,
instead of a blanket, may I suggest you get a tattoo?
Yeah. Right.
On your hand.
Yeah, right. Or you just saw around your ring finger.
Yeah.
There you go. So how did you two meet?
In Woodland, on a mutual friend's wedding? 25th anniversary?
I feel so bad for Tomas.
No,
Tomas. Hey, you know what? Tomas, you can just be quiet now.
That's what we put him on the hot seat.
I came as exchange student. When I finished my bachelor's in Mexico, I had a bachelor's degree in business and a minor in tourism, so I came for English as an exchange student. And we had mutual friends, so we met on a wedding anniversary party in Santa Rosa.
Uh-huh.
But he had seen me in Woodland, so yeah.
So was it love at first sight, or was it just, did it take a little getting used to?
No, it was love at first sight.
No, it was weird. It was first sight. I never thought that I was going to go to Europe, and I was going, and then I met Thomas, and I was like, now I get upset because I should have gone and come back. And he would have waited.
He would have waited.
So that's a hint right there. Have you taken her to Europe yet?
No, but my daughter has. Well, my daughter is going to take her.
She's in Germany, right?
She's in Germany right now.
Yeah.
So, Yolanda, where are you from originally?
I was born and raised in Mexico. It's the northern part, and it's a little town, Sombrerete, Zacatecas. It was very important because Sombrerete is like a hat. But it was very important because we had mines, gold and silver mines, that they went to college, to a private university in Guadalajara.
Mm.
And I left the last 12 years over there, and then I came.
And then you came here, and then you guys met, and then how long before you were married?
A year. And we were lucky because, I came with passport, permits, and everything, and as a student visa.
Yeah.
And still, it was really easy. I was able to do all my translations, the application, and everything, and it took us, that interview is true on the movies, that they send you separate, what that she wears, what that she likes, and then, we have the interview at for immigration, not on the movies, just to make sure that you're not doing it just for, getting paid and getting,
she only married you for your American.
Yeah, so we got that done like in 5 months, and nowadays you have to either go out, and it's super difficult.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But she became an American citizen after that, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Were you selling furniture also then?
No.
At the furniture store?
No, this is, I started doing translations for a lender and a real estate agent.
Mm-hmm.
And I was so naive, newly wife, stay home, and it was kind of part-time, but they start calling me more and more because they were all the Hispanics were buying, Woodland area, Sacramento,
sure.
Davis. And then they offered, he said, you need to get your license. But Tomas was offered a position, a store in Oregon, and we were going to move. I was so honest, they said, no, I can do it, but the time will be moving. We ended up that we didn't move. But then I went, a couple of years later, I started working at the store as a collector.
Ooh.
And then I was promoted.
Yeah. I can see that.
I was promoted to collection supervisor of 19 stores.
Ooh.
So I used to travel and was promoted here for the store and the warehouse and everything. So I used to have a very interesting job.
Yeah.
And I used to do all the legal bankruptcy, small claims, you name it. I did it.
Good for you. That's all.
Cool.
Yeah.
Okay, so then
That's a person that's definitely needed in the world in a lot of ways, because those are all positions that are super important to businesses.
I did,
right? Collecting funds and.
Yeah. Well, see, you'd have job security at Target right now because they would steal, and then before they hit the end of the hit the door,
Yolanda would take them out.
Tackle them.
No, I was collection supervisor. I was in security.
Well, you just hang out in the parking lot.
Just sit there. She just.
No.
Single-handedly.
I went to Washington for a really good training, and there is all my training to the collectors. We have to follow the rules, the collection rules.
Yeah,
there
is
a big,
Because the system's set up for people to not have to pay anything that they owe.
Not necessarily. But you don't want to be sued because they're being too aggressive.
Uh-huh.
Yep. Okay, so let's get back to real estate. So a lot of us feel that Northern California, especially this region, and when I say this region, California Adventure District, this whole 12 counties here, is kind of like an untapped best kept California secret? Mm-hmm. I would say it's one of America's best kept secrets.
I think so. I mean, we have the weather, we got the four seasons here.
So I would actually say because we've been there a few times now, Southern Oregon, this whole area here.
Mm-hmm. Right? Yep. Sure.
I would say from
Grants Pass.
Tehama,
Grants
Pass. From Tehama up to
Grants Pass.
I agree.
Just this whole segment here.
We got lakes, we got rivers, we got the best fishing
in some of the world.
In the world.
Yeah. Yeah. Right through the middle of the city.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. You don't have to go far for it.
You don't. Yeah. And you just basically roll out of the Sheraton at Turtle Bay and just pop right into the river. You're ready to go.
Mm-hmm. And that's the thing that attracts a lot of people in this area. And it seems like, and then of course we got restaurants, we got medical facilities.
It's all here. It all needs to be massaged, right? I mean, one people think too is that we have the great North State Symphony. I mean, for a place that's our size to have an actual symphony and they do a great job. And of course, it's a makeup of two, right? The Chico and Redding. Justa County, and they. Mm-hmm. But I mean, you know. It's cool, right? I mean, that's a little bit of a touch of class, and then we've got our our mountains. And
we're not all hillbillies up here.
But it's good. Everything combined makes a good community.
We just had the rodeo, right? Yeah. So you got your hillbilliness all you wanted for those few days.
And we did.
And we did.
I never put a hat, and this year I wore a hat. And he did, too.
It's good. And
so do you find yourself having to, when people come up here, I'm just going to say, no, I'm just going to assume when they come up here from out of town, out of the area, do you find yourself having to sell them on the area, or is it one of those things that once they see it for themselves, they go,
He gives them tours.
Well, what happens if they come in through July, of course, we have to sell them on the area.
Yeah.
We just went right through.
In July, you just take them to the back end of Lassen.
Exactly.
Snow.
Let's get out of here. Exactly. So, but it is a part where they have visited or come camping, and they made the decision, hey, let's move here. It's an easy going lifestyle. We don't have the problems per se as the big cities do. Of course, we do have our
problems, and the problems that we have are the same problems that are every square inch of this country.
Yeah, and it's multiplied in other places. And here we're fortunate still to be able to live and be able to walk.
Most of the time,
exactly. So, and that's the nice thing. So we have the schools, starting from the grade schools, high schools, and of course Simpson College and Shasta College. Mm-hmm. They offer a lot. So
and the Chico satellite stuff.
Yeah, yeah,
you know,
exactly. And that's
what
we saw the parents with the kids. I mean, I just had some.
So safe. Listen to the science.
No, it's such a great way.
No, we're next to the fire station.
So we've had people that have come up and from the Bay Area, and I've taken them through all the schools first, and they say this is nice, this is great. I mean, and of course, the nice thing is we interchangeable within school districts,
true.
So people can pick out where the kids want to go.
Yep,
and so
that is nice.
It is nice. Mm-hmm. It just makes it to a point where the parents feel safer their kids going to school here.
So if you take them on a tour, where do you take them?
Okay, I usually like to take them to Whiskeytown.
Yeah, okay. That's
so beautiful all the time. And then, of course, we'll walk the Sundial Bridge, of course. And then if we need to, we'll head up to Shasta Lake.
Mm-hmm.
But I always go to Whiskeytown.
Yeah.
That's always the number
one. That's an easy one, right?
It's an easy one. It's always beautiful there. And
the drive there is even nice because you get to go through, what is it?
Old Shasta.
And you get to show them the old ruins.
Yeah. And now you get to see that nice big banner that says Hell's Angels on the hill.
So we keep it safe.
Some people like that.
I know, right?
So they keep us. They keep the county safe.
Yeah,
they?
There they go.
Yeah,
that's so. our well maintained militia.
No, and the thing is, there's so much. so much there. Then you have communities all around, mm-hmm. so it doesn't feel like a city.
Yep. Yeah.
It feels like a little small. Yeah.
I just always refer to them as our little bedroom communities, yeah, right? Yeah. Like Palisadro or
Anderson.
Yeah, all of them.
Jessalay.
They're just
Cottonwood.
All, mm-hmm.
And I always refer to what my dad used to say. He hated the city. I grew up in the country, in the ranch. And we came here the first time. He goes, I can live here.
Mm.
It feels like a big...
Well, you can have city for about 7 minutes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then
you're in the rural.
Yeah, in the rural, exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. So that's always very attractive to people. And then,
I had four people in the store today, all from Sacramento, that have just within the last 6 months moved here.
Yeah. Wow.
Just today alone, I met four people that were from Sacramento.
That's great. Mm-hmm. That's great. And the things, they're bringing more... Bring up the economy here. Mm-hmm. That's what we need. And the thing is, I tell people you can be from the west side of town to the east side of town in 15 minutes.
Oh, for sure.
On heavy traffic.
And some days, even a lot faster than that.
Yeah, 10 minutes.
Yeah. Exactly. But there are some days, even today, I mean, that I will drive somewhere and I'll be like, what is going on?
Especially if you go down like Bocelli.
Yeah, and I'm like, James, really get a grip.
Right.
You know, right? Like,
exactly.
You're just having a fit over nothing.
Over nothing. Exactly.
I bet you, Nigel can tell you horror stories of the LA traffic.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
It takes 45 minutes to get to the freeway.
Yeah.
Are you keeping track of where the real estate is going in general? Because we're hearing a lot of grumblings, right? And especially on the commercial mortgage backed securities, and that's the next shoe to drop. And when that drops, it's like game over for a while.
Yeah.
Well, are we again?
Yeah, it's time for a break.
Okay.
And then we'll get into
think about that answer.
Yeah.
And then we're going to talk about food.
Think we'll about mortgage backed securities.
And now, the Real Estate Minute, brought to you by Vista Real Estate.
When it comes to buying and selling real estate, one size does not fit all. Higher-priced homes sell differently than medium-priced homes. Make sure your realtor knows the difference and has the right tools to get your home sold for the highest price. Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor how they plan to sell your home and what they'll do differently to make your listing stand out. Ask your realtor what kind of experience they have in marketing and sales outside the real estate industry. Be sure to choose a realtor with solid marketing and sales training who also understands tech and internet advertising. Interview at least 3 realtors and make sure to call the number one high-end home selling agent for the past 13 years, me.
The Real Estate Minute is brought to you by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700 or visit VistaReading.com today. And now, The Real Estate Minute, brought to you by Vista Real Estate.
When selling your home, you're probably already aware of the marketing tools realtors use to get the job done. But do you know how those tools are being leveraged? Are you getting the best possible exposure? Or is your realtor just doing the bare minimum? Hi, I'm Chad Phillips with Vista Real Estate. When you're ready to sell, make sure you ask your realtor what their vision is for marketing your home. Every home tells a story, and your realtor should showcase that story, utilizing creative photography, aggressive internet advertising, print media, and more. In addition, make sure your property is being marketed to other areas. Before you choose a realtor to represent you, ask if they plan to target more than just local buyers. Interview at least 3 realtors and make sure Vista Real Estate is on your list.
The Real Estate Minute is brought to you by Vista Real Estate. Call 530-247-0700 or visit VistaReading.com today.
And we're back, Nigel and James.
It looks like somebody knocked out one of your teeth. Smile. There's a big chocolate.
Bad?
This is a huge chocolate piece of chocolate on the teeth.
We're talking with.
I'm not on TV. It's alright. People say I have a face for radio. I believe them.
Last segment here, Tomas and Yolanda from Remax of Reading. Yeah, got that right.
Of Reading, exactly.
Remax of Reading.
If you don't say that, Al Naccione will come and beat you up.
Yep.
He will not. No.
You'll get Naccione.
No, Al's
great. He's not here to defend himself.
He'll get, you'll get Naccione.
He's cool.
Yeah. Al's our landlord.
So we were talking about the pending future of real estate, because I am actually paying attention to this.
Yeah, everybody's paying attention to this.
Yeah, I'm not. But
well, the economy, and, you know, now we're dead, and, you know, we don't pass, and, whatever happens.
The next 6 months is going to be very, very interesting.
Interesting.
And so what you just said about that previously, you know, you may actually have an opportunity here to reclaim it at $500,000.
Oh. Commercial, it slowed down, but definitely changed. And there's a couple of, things when the pandemic and a lot of people start working from,
home.
And a lot of people, realize that, okay, we can do this, and maybe
so
downsize, and they're leaving their commercial
spaces. So I understand that, because I've been watching that in San Francisco, and they're basically saying that San Francisco is literally ready to implode, because there's nobody downtown working. Everybody's working from home. And everything.
So it's just empty high
rises. Huge, buildings, just completely empty.
Well, I think it's going to change. It's just the adjustment, but it's going to be hybrid.
Mm.
So they're realizing, because they're still going to need to go back, then for some things and everything. So, but right now everybody was used to being home and, they're having a hard time and coming back and everything.
Funny thing is Apple just built that $100 billion spaceship thing, right? And then the pandemic came not too long after they finished.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been watching in the news because I am obsessed with Apple, telling you that they cannot get their employees to come back to work.
I think it was Twitter. Somebody just came out and said, hey, come June, we're all back in the office.
Yeah.
Like, if you want to keep a job with us, you will be in the office.
Well, that's what Elon did.
Was it Twitter? Yeah.
And he
said, one of them.
If you want your job, and they're already saying that. I mean, and he's okay with it, because for him, he's using it as an excuse to get rid of everybody, because that's what he's been doing anyway, because he's like, you have 22,000 employees in this building, and we only need probably 2,200, right, to run the whole company. But I know that they've been threatening the Apple employees that they're going to lose their jobs if they don't come back, too.
And I believe that they need, you need to, but they can do hybrid, and some companies are going to be able to.
So, like, go in the office certain days of the week.
And some of them, what they do, I'll put the building, 833 Mistletoe, and we have the smaller suites.
Uh-huh.
Right away, we got everybody, because now people, they're downsizing. Uh-huh. Some people, they work from home. Other comes to the office, and then other. So, little spaces, they're being, leased. And those are being attractive. So I think it's going to just take a while to realize we have to do it some other way.
But, the 40-story office building is over. Okay, last couple minutes, last segment. It's very important, because we have, lots of new people moving up, right, moving in. We had a lot of people move out. We had a lot of people move in. Okay, so for a lot of the newbies here that may be listening and that you come in contact with, what are some of your favorite places to eat?
Well, I like sarape.
Oh, Mexican food?
They're on
anything.
Sarape is good.
Twin View.
I've never been there. So what's
El Sarape?
And he's been writing Buzz. He should know.
Yeah. I should. That's what I'm saying.
There is a family owned and operated, and everything I feel like is more authentic.
Mm-hmm.
And good fresh food.
Yeah,
You want good fresh food.
It's true. A lot of Americans, even Californians, even been up from Texas and stuff, right? Like, a lot of Americans eat Mexican food. It's
every day.
It's
every
lovely. Day. Mexican food is one of the most popular foods in America. But a lot of the food that they eat is a facsimile of Mexican food in some form or way, right?
Sure.
But if you really go and eat at a restaurant where the family is authentic, it's amazing. Like the simpleness of it,
it's
right?
Simple.
And it's
fresh.
It so tastes good, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Where is this place?
It's Twin View Boulevard. It's almost when you're.
It's on the north side of town in Twin View Boulevard.
What's it called again?
Sarape.
Sarape means the blanket. The blanket is Sarape.
Mm-hmm. So, Garrett, your job is to go to the blanket.
I'm going to the blanket.
Okay. anywhere else.
Roll out the blanket. I'm coming in.
We also like the raw.
Oh, raw.
I love raw.
That's right down from the office, actually.
Yeah, and I, when, you know, sometimes I need a drink, I like to go there.
You're going to need lots of them after work.
And
we say, what's your poison? What do you like? What's your drink?
I don't discriminate. Oh, okay. My problem. Some days I just want my wine. Some days I can have something else, you know?
I don't discriminate. No, I don't like that. No. I'm going to start using that.
They gave me one that there was a mezcal. And it was really good. You know, the thing with now, like me, they made me feel older sometimes at the bars because we were used to our drinks and now they're so different and, you know, new names and everything.
Well, just stay away from Trank.
Oh, okay.
Trank, oh my God.
That's horrible.
Yeah. Okay, any other?
Well, of course.
We all like La Cabaña, right?
La Cabaña, oh, love it there. Too. Yeah.
They're nice, so nice. The people, the family there,
the
too.
Family, really nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and they're a good supporter of the community.
Mm-hmm.
That's for sure.
Oh, they do a lot for the Hispanic.
Yes, they do.
They donate food. We go try to go to the services in Spanish, especially, you know, holidays, Virgen of Guadalupe and everything. They will serve food for everybody. Mm-hmm. Really, really nice.
That's so cool.
We like the Jibu for Red Fox. We like this for their coffee and...
From the Hearth?
From the Hearth.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This location.
Yep, just that one.
This location. Well,
but it's different.
I've never been...
It is different. My experience is that... I like this one, too.
I like this one.
From the Hearth downtown. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Market Street.
And then, of course, it can't be Jack's either.
Oh, yeah. Jack's Grill. Yeah. See, and I like meat and beef for the most part. I should rephrase that. I've learned to really like it. I grew up, my mother was a vegetarian, so I was allowed to have chicken sometimes and fish. So I've never really ended up being a real beef eater until recently because I'm diabetic now, and so that's basically what I eat because it doesn't strike my blood sugar.
We are firemen.
I don't think I've ever ordered a steak at Jack's, and I've been there forever, but I am obsessed with their prawns.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Oh, yes.
And
we like Carlene's.
Yeah.
Carlene's.
Oh, Carlene's a really good one. Yeah.
And it's, you know, and we have taken clients. And it's a nice, you know, that we can, you know, or drinks. Or
is that where you take clients? Where do you like to take clients?
It just depends.
Everywhere. It depends what they feel like, you know.
Mm-hmm. Here, we have lots of good restaurants.
Mm-hmm.
There is just a big variety of eatery places, and they're all great.
Yeah,
I like the Thai food on Hilltop. What's the name?
The Thai House.
That's on
Hartnell.
No,
Garden.
Champa Garden.
Yeah. Ooh, I like that a lot too.
Yeah.
Okay, so your family have. So you're from Mexico City?
No, Mexico.
From Northern Mexico? The hat. Got it.
Sombrerete.
Sombrerete, yeah.
So one of the many things I like about the Hispanic community is that it's very family-centric.
Right? Yeah.
It's all about family.
Yeah.
So does your family come to visit, or are they moved here?
I was blessed. I come from a big family, four boys, four girls, and my parents. I was blessed that my parents were able to come and visit us, and my brothers, and
once a year
at least, and then we used to go. So my girls, you know, they grew up, and then Tomas's family, mostly of his mom's side, all of them immigrated here a long time ago. So all his family's here. Talking about big family, big reunions, big, you know, his mom, bless her heart, she used to do 100 people. And you can bring the uncle, the aunt, the cousin, you know. You were welcome. Beautiful parties.
How special is that, though?
Yeah. So you finish one reunion, and then you start planning.
They scare me. The first time. I came from more like an uptight, you know. We were eight, so we didn't, you know, as it was. We were eight kids. And, yeah, we did celebrations, but we're more uptight, you know, more. And then I came, and we have the first birthday party for my daughter, and I'm planning a small, you know, 1-year-old birthday party. My mother-in-law gets up. Next weekend at Yolanda's house, I almost fainted. We got our first house. Don't ask me why. I had white carpet.
Oh,
that
man.
House. And I looked like I thought we were going to fly, or I don't know where I was thinking, you know. And they show up, and there are more people. And I was, but he has some great cousins that they start getting my new towels and just put it on the carpet. And, you know, ended up being good. Later on, I became one of them. It was just, you know.
And you were okay. Yeah. And you became okay with beige carpet after
oh, yeah.
got worn
I
in.
Was like, you know, I wish the girls will come back. And, yeah, they, you know, when they were in high school.
So you became place. Number 101.
101, yes.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So right. sounds actually very lovely.
Yeah, and lots of food, and I mean, and everybody cooks, everybody brings everybody, so it was nice.
But when our daughters were growing up, we had a lot of get-togethers mm-hmm. with their friends.
With their friends.
At the house, too.
They used to, a couple of neighbors that they used to be coming and knocking on the door and say, Miss Avalos, do you have taquitos? When the girls were little. The parents didn't even, I mean, we would have a beautiful neighborhood, nice neighbors, but they all they knew there was food in the house.
Yeah, listen, we're going to have to wrap it up. This is a good chat. Tomas and Yolanda,
thank you for having me.
Remax of Reading. And we made it 1 hour without talking about politics.
Yeah, right. How we did that, I don't know.
I don't know.
We'll have to do 2 hours next week.
I know, right? Make up for it.
I got to go to the blanket first.
It was good. It was right. good. I love you guys.
thank you for coming in.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And see you next week. Bye.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional.